1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Let us hear God's word. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Father God, we come to you now. We thank you that you have fed us with the bread of the earth. But Heavenly Father, we ask you now that you would feed us with the bread of your word, that through your Holy Spirit you would bless the preaching and the hearing of your word, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. 17 years ago, this very weekend, I wouldn't have thought about it, and I bet you haven't even thought about it. If it hadn't been for me seeing a news clip, I wouldn't even be mentioning it. But 17 years ago, this very weekend, Hurricane Katrina came through and destroyed the city of New Orleans. It was a calamity that was just terrible. People lost their possessions. They lost their house. A lot of people lost their lives. But something strange happened there. Because after the hurricane came through and the rescuers came in to the flooded areas, there were actual incidences of where people were shooting at the rescuers. The police, the fire department, whoever had gone in to help the people who were flooded out, those people actually began to shoot them. And of course, that made headline news along with the hurricane itself. And people were quite surprised about that. Well, this too may have been the question for Christians to whom Peter was writing. Peter was writing to Christians in Rome in order to encourage them because of the persecutions that were starting. Like the hurricane swept through the Gulf states, persecution of Christians was beginning to sweep through the Roman Empire. So Peter writes to them in order to help them understand what is happening so that they can better prepare for any suffering that may come their way. So what does Peter say? Well, the first thing Peter tells them is this in verse 12. Do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Can you imagine being a relief worker there at New Orleans, and you're going in to provide water and food and relief, and people start opposing you? And then your supervisor says, oh, don't be surprised at that reaction from those people. Don't be surprised. Well, I am surprised, and I'm surprised that you're not surprised. What's going on here? Well, it seems that the Christians in Rome had forgotten a basic truth that the Apostle Peter had not forgotten. And that basic truth is that man by nature is evil, and that man by nature hates righteousness. Jesus says in John chapter 3, this is the verdict. Light is coming to the world, but men love darkness instead of light, and they will not come into the light for fear that their sins will be exposed. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, the man without the Spirit of God does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. David, writing in the Psalms, Psalm 51 says, I've been a sinner since conception. Even in my mother's womb, I was a sinner. Now, I have never had to teach my two sons to sin. They've done a good job of it all by themselves. It seems that the believers in Rome had forgotten the lesson of theology 101. And that lesson is that man is spiritually depraved. Man by nature hates the things of God. Man in his natural state is at war with God. Man's mind, his heart, his soul, his body, the way we think, the way we feel, the way we reason, what motivates us, is it at war with the kingdom of God? The sinful mind of man will always reason against the gospel and will always oppose those who bring the gospel to them. This is the basic truth that the Christians forgot. You know, we are like a soldier who goes to war and then wonders, why am I being shot at? What have I ever done to those people over there? So it was for the Christians in Rome. They had forgotten that the world hates Jesus, and it will hate those who love him. They're forgetting that there is enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of Satan, and forgetting that it's always been this way, and it will always be this way until Christ returns. If we forget that, then we will be taken off guard. We will be surprised at the reaction to the world, the reaction of the world to our attempts to be salt and light and to share the gospel with people. Do not be surprised by the resistance that you will meet if you seek to be faithful to Christ. Another thing that Peter tells his readers to do to be better prepared for suffering is to think about what this suffering really means in your life. Think about what this spiritual warfare, think about why you are being persecuted. Peter says in verse 13, do not be surprised. Instead, rejoice that you participate in the suffering of Christ so that you will be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. This life of spiritual warfare, when it's considered in the right way, with proper understanding, even though it is painful, yet brings a great amount of encouragement to us. The fact that we are fighting against our own sin, the fact that we are taking a stand against evil in our culture, says that we belong to Christ. Jesus puts it this way, we are blessed. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. What's Jesus saying? He's saying that this persecution, this suffering that you are experiencing because of Christ, because you align yourself with the kingdom of God, the suffering that you will experience is a sign that you belong to Christ. It's Like David, we have been commissioned by Christ to fight against the spiritual Goliaths, whether they are in our own heart or in our culture. Like the armies of Israel, we've been called to do battle against the spiritual Canaanites. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus, going on before. The fact that we are in the struggle, that we are in the battle, the fact that we are being persecuted for righteousness' sake, says that we belong to Christ. Jesus says, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. But be encouraged, because their hatred to you will be because you belong to me. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But I have chosen you out of the world, and that is why the world hates you. As you are persecuted, remember that they persecuted the prophets and the apostles that were before you. Hebrews chapter 11, it's a roll call of the faithful. But at the end of time, that roll call of the faithful, there will be a lot of additions. Your name will be inscribed on that scroll of the faithful followers of Christ who endured hardship. They took up the cross and they suffered. And as you pick up your cross daily, as you seek to follow Jesus, you too, you will suffer. But you're going to suffer because you belong to Jesus. The disciples suffered not because they were fishermen, but because they were fishers of men. Paul suffered not because he was a Roman citizen, but because he was a citizen of heaven. Moses suffered not because he was a leader in Egypt, but because he was a leader of Israel who was in captivity in Egypt. You will suffer because you are not part of the world, but you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. If you belong to the world, it would love you. If you belong to the world would make sure you didn't have much of a struggle. It wants to keep you in place. But rejoice that your suffering is proof that you do not belong to the world, but that you belong to Jesus Christ, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs of Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may share in his glory. If we share in his sufferings, it is evidence that we will share in his glory. Another thing that Peter says that will help your suffering is to make sure that you suffer as a child of God and not because you have embraced sin. Verse 15, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even a meddler. It is not suffering in general that we should find our hope in, but it is suffering for righteousness' sake. If I suffer, if I go to jail because I'm a thief, that does not encourage me at all. But if I go to jail because I would not steal, then that is evidence that I belong to Christ. When I was a Boy Scout, we were out hiking, and one of the other scouts got such a severe sunburn that he was unable to carry his pack. And the problem was that we were all loaded down with our own backpacks. And I have come to understand that a person with the burden, he's in no shape to carry someone else's burden. A guilty conscience is a heavy thing. It's a heavy burden. Joseph's brothers, they could not deal with the false accusations that they were spies because they were loaded down with guilt guilt about selling their brother into slavery years ago. The scripture said that they said, "Surely we are being punished because our brother. This is why this distress has come upon us." Even though it had been decades since they had seen their brother and decades since they had sold their brother into slavery, yet the guilt for what they did was a heavy burden. It was heavy laden upon their hearts. He that carries the weight of guilt cannot carry the weight of the cross. If a ship is sound and seaworthy, it can sail upon the waters. It can sail in the midst of the storm. But if the timbers are rotten, if it's full of holes and it leaks, it's going to sink in the water. If a conscience is free of guilt, it can ride upon the waves of suffering. But if a conscience is full of guilt, it's not going to sail in the storm of persecution. A guilty person suffering cannot stand the heat of persecution, for he knows that he may go from the martyr's fire into the fires of hell. A guilty conscience does not interpret his suffering as a means of sanctification, but as a means of damnation. We who follow Christ, when we have these conflicts and difficulties in our life, we take them as they come from the Lord, the loving hand of God to sanctify us. But if we are loaded down with the burden of guilt, though we may be a Christian, if we are loaded down with the burden of guilt because we are allowing sin in our life, then we will not interpret suffering as through the hand of God, the loving hand of God, but through the disciplining hand of God. Jacob, because of his guilt in deceiving his brother Esau, he lived in fear of his brother Esau, even though God had said to him that I will keep you and protect you and never leave you. Guilt causes us to lose our peace. Guilt causes us to lose our confidence in God. Therefore, if you suffer, let your conscience be free of guilt. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could stand in the fires of the furnace because they knew that they would not face the fires of hell. Their conscience was clear. Their conscience was pure. Jesus faced the cross with these words, "Who among you can prove me guilty of sin?" And then he had confidence then to commit his soul into the hands of the Father. A good conscience with God will abide the false accusations of guilt from the world. Before a person can die for Christ, you got to die to the world. Lastly, what can a Christian do to be ready for suffering is to listen to the scriptures. Listen to what Peter says in verse 19. Commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Why does Peter tell us about this? Why does Peter tell us, in the midst of suffering, commit yourself to Jesus Christ? Why does he do this? Well, in suffering, our tendency is to blame God. God, I don't deserve this. Why did you let this happen? This is not the best for me and my family. But in John chapter 17, Jesus prays that we not be delivered from the world, but that we be protected while we're in the world. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not protected from being put in the fire, but they were being protected while they were in the fire. Psalm 91, we read, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. See, it's protection, not from the battle, but protection in the battle. But then the psalmist goes on to say, as you make the Most High your dwelling, as you rest in the shadow of the Almighty. as you look to the promises of God, as you look to the promises of God, then no amount of persecution or suffering or disappointment can keep you from following Christ. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Noah, you've heard about Noah, the flood, the ark. Noah didn't see God's deliverance until after the storm hit. You will see God's deliverance not when the sun is shining, but when the storm is raging and the waters are rising. When you're in the midst of that flood, then you will see God's deliverance. Therefore, you got to keep your mind on Christ. You must continually commit yourself to the promises of God. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Faith gets its strength from God's word. Faith gets its strength from the promises of God. If you take the fish out of the water, it dies. You take the promises of God away from our faith, and our faith will die. Like a child nurses at the breast of his mother, we must feed upon the word of God, the promises of God, because that's where our strength is. Therefore, we need to treasure up the promises of God, that we may be given strength to carry the cross for Christ. Psalm 91 again. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. No harm will come near him. No disaster will come near your tent. Treasure that promise. Hide God's word in your heart. Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. The Lord does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the very thing that Elisha said to his servant, Lord, let him see what's out there. And the Lord opened up the servant's eyes, and he was able to see that around them, chariots of fire. And the prophet said, there are more with us than there are against us. It's the same for you. See, the Lord doesn't change. There are more for you than there are against you. But it's only by feeding off the promises of God, only by feeding yourself with the word of God, that you will be given eyes of faith to understand and persevere. He who delivered Daniel from the lion's den, he's in the same business today. He's delivering you day after day after day. Treasure the promises of God. Commit your life. Commit your family. Commit your future into his hands and continue to do good. The Boy Scout motto is be prepared. How can you be prepared for suffering in your life? You keep your eyes upon Jesus. You pick up the cross. You follow him. You feed yourself on the word of God. You do not forget Theology 101, that those who are without the Spirit, those who are non-Christians, they're going to oppose you. There will be resistance to what you say and what you do. Are you prepared? If you're prepared, then you will not be surprised of the painful trial that you are going to undergo. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promises to us in Christ. We pray for grace to keep our eyes upon Christ. We pray for grace to pick up the cross and to follow you. We pray for grace, Heavenly Father, to hide your word in our heart. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.